Spirit Radio Podcasts.
Now, last week I had the privilege of talking to Stephen Curtis Chapman, one of the leading contemporary Christian music artists of his generation. He's been going for several decades now, and he's just as good as when he started. He's just released a new book about his life and career called Between Heaven and the Real World. And on Saturday, we played part of the interview on the Saturday Magazine show, where he talked about his music career, what it was like to collaborate with other musicians and songwriters, and a bit about his book. He also talked to me when I spoke to him about the tragedy that struck his family in 2008, when his five-year-old daughter Maria was knocked down and killed in the grounds of their own home. And today we pick up the interview there.
The theme of tragedy is something that, you know, I know you've spoken about this before, but if I could touch on it, I mean, the tragedy of your daughter. I was really struck watching you guys, your whole family, on Larry King talking about this tragedy. But what struck me about it was how close-knit you all have been from the very first moment of it. It's something that must have been extremely difficult and still is.
Yes, I mean, it's as anyone would say that has ever, you know, been through it. There's no greater pain, you know, that a person, I think, will experience than the loss, you know, parent loss of a child. And, you know, the way our family was affected by it, obviously, it just, you know, it had so many layers of difficulty and hard, you know, thing to walk through with our son being involved, you know, and driving the car, and then, you know, our other children just being, you know, involved in such close ways of, you know, being everyone being there and just how it affected everyone. And so, you know, it's we knew early on, I mean, we huddled up, you know, as a family. We said this, you know, many times before. I wrote about it, you know, in greatest detail I ever have in my book that I just released a couple of months ago, Between Heaven and the Real World. And, you know, it was one time that I felt like to honor the pain and the loss, because that's one of the things that, you know, I know is I don't have an answer or don't have it figured out, but I know that it's important to do that, to honor our, you know, the grief and the loss and the pain. And I'm such a fixer, and I talk about that and the book I wrote as well. I want to fix all the broken things in the world, and especially in my world and my kids' lives and my marriage. And, you know, so much is just not fixable this side of heaven. And, you know, there are things that are broken in us and around us. And we keep engaging. We keep pushing back at the darkness and keep, you know, showing up to trust that God's going to ultimately make all things right and all things new and all is going to be well. But, you know, how do we keep walking, you know, forward in that? And when something this, you know, massive happens, you know, to keep hoping and believing and walking forward, you know, with the grief can be, well, it is unbearable apart from the hope of the gospel and, you know, what I've sung about all these years. It, again, doesn't, you know, it's not a big Band-Aid you put on it and go, hey, everything is good, everything is okay. There's a lot not good, there's a lot not okay, but can I believe that the story isn't over yet? Can I believe that, you know, there's that we're just in the beginning of the story, and that, you know, God has, all of the promises are really true, and and yet, you know, still honor the pain and the sadness and the loss and not pretend. I think, you know, that's one of the dangerous things, and that's one of the things we as a family have just been fiercely committed to, is we're not going to pretend that it's, that, you know, we're better than we are, you know, that we're okay. We're going to be honest about the pain and the struggle, but we're going to keep holding up each other and reminding each other of what's true and what we believe and what we're holding on to.
Well, I mean, one of the themes in your music that I've always, that's always really struck me, Stephen, is this idea that we're not there yet. I mean, we are not home yet, long way home. These songs, which are so resonant in, I used to listen to We Are Not Home Yet. I mean, I used to listen to that every day. And there's this understanding in your life and in your music about the reality of people's struggle, and it comes out a lot in the book, and it's something that that you seem to have a particular gift of talking into.
Well, I think maybe it's because I have struggled so much. I'm the expert of struggle. Yeah.
Well, you know, God only does this to people he really likes, though.
Yeah, no, there you go. I hear that, and I'm like, God, maybe you could like me a little bit less, just a little bit.
That's right. But that was Saint Teresa of Avila. She asked God one day. She said, "Well, why am I having all this hardship? Why is this happening to me?" And he said to her, "I only do that to my friends."
Yeah. Well, thanks a lot. That really is. It is interesting that you say that and kind of pick up on it. Cause I did, I think that's part of what writing the book for me was really good. I've been, talking a lot lately. It's about the importance of remembering, there's such a powerful thing, that happens when we remember. And it's something that obviously God, thought was important for his, people in the very beginning is, the Israelites is like build these stones of remembrance and, these places, memorials where you go and just retell the stories, of what I have done. And because we have to do that. And I think, writing that in my book and remembering the struggles, going back even to my childhood and, my journey with my wife, Mary Beth, and our early years and all of our years, just the hard things. But, I've said it before, and I've said it a lot in talking about this book. For me, the places in Scripture that are the most encouraging, the most profound, and hopeful for me, that I draw the greatest strength from, are not the David, slaying Goliath stories. I love those, and they do give me encouragement, and to go, wow, okay, God can do that. But it really is, reading deeper into the life of David, of the struggle and the failure, and then finding out that even after all that, with all of that, he still is known as the man after God's own heart. That honesty in Scripture that probably would have gotten edited out in modern day, Christian writing and publishing world, potentially, it would have been, hey, that's
sure.
A little too, we're getting a little too honest there with that struggle. We need to tell the victory stories, And I'm like, no, I need the Paul, saying, hey, I'm weak, but his strength is perfect in my weakness. And, the thing I don't want to do is what I do, and what I do is what I don't want to do. And, those are the places in Scripture that give me so much hope and encouragement. And so, I think that's probably why, because that's what's encouraged me so much. That's what's influenced and inspired a lot of my music.
Before I let you go, one of the most powerful moments in the book for me was when you talk about Maria's last drawing, that you came back to your house and you found it. Can you just tell us about the drawing and what you feel God was saying through that?
Yeah, well, there was a flower. Maria was kind of known. It was her little signature flower that she drew on a lot of things when she would be just kind of doodling, and she loved to sit at her art table and draw and color and markers. She loved markers. And so we had come back to the house to get some clothes together and a few things, and weren't sure, when we'd come back to the house for good, if we even would at that point, but we knew we needed to come back for a few things. So we came in, and I was walking through the dining room area where the little art tables were that Stevie Joy and Maria would sit at. And there was a picture, a drawing of Maria's, kind of her usual flower she had drawn that morning. But it was kind of interesting in that it seemed unfinished. It had six petals. She always drew six petals on her flower, and she had colored one of the petals in blue, which was her favorite color, but that was the only one, and kind of was interesting because it looked like she had not finished it. And then I noticed something kind of bleeding through the paper from the back. She had drawn something on the back as well with the marker, and I flipped it over, and it had a little butterfly that she had drawn, in very rough, 5-year-old form. She'd just turned five. And then it had a word that we had never known her to write. She was just learning her letters in her preschool, and she could write her name, Maria, and she could write, I love Mom and I love Dad. And we would find those little messages, you know, on things coming home from school or whatever.
Yeah.
But she had written the word C, S-E-E, and we had, you know, just been desperately praying for, you know, in those moments, the early days and hours, that God would just somehow through the cloud of our tears and pain, that we could see something that would just tell us tangibly, kind of, God, yes, I'm she's with me, I'm with you, you know, this is all as I have said it is, all as you have believed all these years, you know, that it's all true. And that message, you know, that word and the flower, you know, was, and even the butterfly, there was just so much life in that for us, so much hope for us, you know, and really the flower, I think the thing that we discovered from that even, and again, this is, you know, just what it meant to us, and we, you know, sounds, you know, a little bit crazy or whatever, but you know, we found great encouragement and hope in it, that, you know, even in the flower, Maria, you know, had drawn six petals, and my wife actually kind of discovered this and looking at it and telling a friend about it. And she realized, you know, with six petals, we have six children, and only one of the petals was colored in, you know, with Maria's favorite color. For us, it was just kind of like, you know, she was saying, hey, you know, we're all still here and still together, but I'm the only one that's whole and colored in and got my color. I'm complete, you know, and I'm home. But, you know, you guys are still waiting, you know, for everything to be complete. But just, you know, there was just a lot of comfort in that, I think, for us, and has continued to be. I mean, it's something that we've continued to look at and be reminded of. We've all got different versions of the tattoo somewhere, you know, on our, you know, wrist or arm or back or something, of that little flower and Maria's word C, just to kind of carry with us to keep us reminded.
That was part of an interview that I conducted with Stephen Curtis Chapman just a few days ago. And what an inspiration he is to so many, and he and his family too. Between Heaven and the Real World is the name of his new biography. And I can tell you it's well worth a read to learn more about this extraordinary man and his extraordinary family.
Thanks for listening to our Spirit Radio podcast. Don't miss out. Subscribe today. Find out how at spiritradio.ie.